Canto 5, Chapter 2, The Activities of Maharaj Avanidra. In this chapter, the character of Maharaj Avanidra is described. When Maharaj Priyavrat went off for spiritual realization, his son Avanidra became the ruler of Jambudvip. In accordance with Maharaj Priyavrat's instructions and maintain its residence with the same affection a father feels for his sons. Once Maharaj Avanidra desired to have a son and therefore he entered a cave of Mandar mountain to practice austerity. Understanding his desire, Lord Brahma sent a celestial girl named Purvachitti to Avanidra's hermitage. After dressing herself very attractively, she presented herself before him with various feminine movements, and Avanidra was naturally attracted to her. The girl's actions, expressions, smiles, sweet words, and moving eyes were fascinating to him. Avanidra was expert in flattery. Thus he attracted the celestial girl, who was pleased to accept him as her husband because of his mellifluous words. She enjoyed royal happiness with Avanidra for many years before returning to her abode in the heavenly planets. In her womb, Avanidra begot 9 sons: Nadi, Kimpurush, Harivarsha, Ilavrit, Ramyak, Hiranmay, Kuru, Bhadrashva, and Kekumal. He gave them 9 islands with names corresponding to theirs. Avanidra, however, his senses unsatisfied, was always thinking of his celestial wife, and therefore in his next life he was born in her celestial planet. After the death of Maharaj Avanidra, his 9 sons married 9 daughters of Meru, named Meru Devi, Pratirupa, Ugra Dramshtri, Lata, Ramya, Shama, Nari, Bhadra, and Devaviti. Text 1. Shishukovach Evam Pitari Sampravritte Tat Anushasane Vartaman Avanidra Jambu Dipaukasa Praja Aura Sa Vadma Aura Las Vadma Dhamma Vikshamana Paryabhopayat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, after his father Maharaj Priyavrat departed to follow the path of spiritual life by undergoing austerities, King Avanidra completely obeyed his order, strictly observing the principles of religion. He gave full protection to the inhabitants of Jambudvip as if they were his own begotten sons. Purport: following the instruction of his father, Maharaj Priyavrat, Maharaj Avanidra ruled the inhabitants of Jambudvip according to religious principles. These principles are exactly contrary to the modern principles of faithlessness. As clearly stated here, the king protected the citizens the way a father protects his begotten children. How he ruled the citizens is also described here. Dharma vikshamana, strictly according to religious principles. It is a duty of the executive head of a state to see that citizens strictly follow religious principles. The Vedic religious principles begin with Varnashram Dharma, the duties of the 4 Varnas and 4 Ashramas. Dharma refers to the principles given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first principle of Dharma or religion is to observe the duties of the 4 orders as enjoined by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to people's qualities and activities, society should be divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and then again divided into brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas and sannyasis. These are religious principles, and it is a duty of the head of the state to see that his citizens strictly follow them. He should not merely act officially. He should be like a father who is always a well-wisher of his sons. Such a father strictly observes whether his sons are performing their duties, and sometimes he also punishes them. Just contrary to the principles mentioned here, the presidents and chief executives in the age of Kali are simply tax collectors who do not care whether religious principles are observed. Indeed, the chief executives or the presidents introduce all kinds of sinful activity, especially illicit sex, intoxication, animal gambling, animal killing and gambling. These sinful activities are now very prominently manifested in India. Although 100 years ago, these four principles of sinful life were strictly prohibited in the families of India, they have now been introduced into every Indian family. Therefore, they cannot follow religious principles. In contrast, the principles of the kings of old, the modern state is concerned only with propaganda for levying taxes and no longer responsible for the spiritual welfare of the citizens. The state is now callous to religious principles. Srimad Bhagavatam predicts that in Kali Yuga, the government will be entrusted with Dasyu Dharma, which means the occupation duty of rogues and thieves. Modern heads of state are rogues and thieves who plunder the citizens instead of giving them protection. Rogues and thieves plunder without regard for law, but in this age of Kali, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the lawmakers themselves plunder the citizens. The next prediction to be fulfilled, which is already coming to pass, is that because of the sinful activities of the citizens and the government, rain will become increasingly scarce. Gradually, there will be complete drought and no production of food grains. People will be reduced to eating flesh and seeds, and many good spiritually inclined people will have to forsake their homes because they will be too harassed by drought, taxation and famine. The Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to save the world from such devastation. It is the most scientific and authorized movement for actual welfare of the whole human society. Om Jnan Kimiranyasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yeham Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Vidati Swapadantikam Namam Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedantam Swami Niti Namini. Matter 2nd of 5th Canto. The activities of Maharaj Agnidra are described. And in the first verse, here it is explained that Maharaj Priyavrat, who departed to follow the spiritual life, following the instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Narad Muni. We could see in the previous chapter that Srila Narad Muni instructed Priyavrat Maharaj, and he was practicing austerities for so many years. Many years he was following the austerities, and he was not willing to enter into household life. But Brahmaji, he came and advised him that it is his duty to accept the householder life. because he was the only heir who could continue the dynasty. His brother Uttanapad, he had so many dynasties had come through him, and later there were no one to take care of the kingdom. So therefore Lord Brahma had to come himself to request him, in fact to order him that you have to enter into household life. And Priyavrat Maharaj, he before entering, he knew all the intricacies of householder responsibilities and everything, and he followed them perfectly, and he ruled the kingdom, and then at proper time he gave up. He decided to now practice austerities for the remaining part of his life, and he entrusted his kingdom to his son Agnidev. That was a system previously that the kings, they would rule the kingdom in a proper spirit. They would be the representatives of the Supreme Lord. They were the saintly kings, Rajarshis. And it was their duty to protect the citizens and to supply all the necessities. Just like a father supplies all the necessities of his sons. Son has so many demands. So father supplies, and his son is doing something wrong, father corrects him or punishes him at times. So similarly, here it is explained that King Agnidra was also like a father to the citizens. And he was seeing the actual spiritual welfare of the citizens. And here it is described that how he ruled the kingdom, dharma vekshamana, strictly according to religious principles. What are the religious principles? These are given in the scriptures. And according to that, he ruled the kingdom. He did not manufacture his own laws, that because I don't like certain things, this should not be done, or I want to do this, so therefore this thing should be done. No. What is given in the scriptures, he was simply carrying out those orders. So this is very, very important, that the king who has taken this responsibility of all the citizens, how he should be transparent in all of his activities. This is very, very important. And religious, Vedic religious principles begin with Varnashram Dharma. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that what are the religious principles and how to follow that, how to follow them. If somebody follows Varnashram Dharma, the duties of four varnas and four ashramas. And dharma, it is not someone's dharma that I have created these laws or certain thing. But dharmam to sakshar bhagavat pranayam. That dharma refers to the principles given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord has given certain principles for everyone to follow. And the king has to simply execute this. Then only all people will be happy. When the king sees that all his citizens are following these principles, then everyone makes progress spiritually and materially also. And to follow these principles, the society has been divided very scientifically into four varnas and ashramas. In fact, Supreme Lord Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhavasya. This is very important. That the whole society has been divided into four varnas and ashramas. Guna Karma Vibhavasya, according to one's qualities and activities. So when these things are followed properly, then one realizes what is his duty, where he is fitting, whether he is a Brahmana or Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, what is his Varna. He has to decide, seeing the nature, and then he should act accordingly. Then whole society will be like a human body, social body. Every activity, every part of our body is assigned some activity. The legs have to perform some activity, the hands, the bellies, the brain. And when these limbs of the body, they follow properly, then the whole body nourishes. So similarly, society is like the human body, social body. And all the different divisions of the society, they form the different limbs of the social body. And if they follow properly, then everyone will make progress. So these principles of religion have to be understood very carefully. And I was reading one of the purports of Srila Prabhupada, the passing away of Bhishmadev. So Bhishmadev is explaining, before passing away, Maharaj Yudhishthira and Pandavas, they went to inquire how we should rule the kingdom, how we should follow all these principles. So Maharaj Bhishmadev, he explained to Maharaj Yudhishthira that there are various principles to be followed. And first of all, he told that he gave 9 principles which are given in Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, that this principle should be followed by everyone. I will just read out them very quickly. These 9 qualifications of civilized human beings are not to become angry, not to lie, to equally distribute wealth, to forgive, to beget children by one's legitimate wife, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body, not to be inimical towards anyone, to be simple, and to support servants and subordinates. These are the very, very basic principles, moral principles. They have to be followed by everyone. Bhishmadev is instructing to Pandavas before passing away. And then he explains that society, what are the 4 varnas and ashramas, and how everyone should follow them perfectly. Brahmanas should be following all the principles of scriptures. They should be practicing austerities. Now, one of the principles of Brahmanas is that they should not work under anyone. They should not get any salary. This is one of the principles. Then for the Kshatriyas, it is explained that they should give charity and they should not accept charity. And Srila Prabhupada immediately gives a contrast in Kali Yuga, that how in Kali Yuga, the administrative class who are supposed to give charity are devising so many means and they levy so many taxes from the citizens. And they are not giving any charity to the people or Brahmanas. So in the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is giving what is the ideal situation, and in the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is giving what is happening in Kali Yuga. Very, very important to understand. And then it is explained that the Kshatriyas should not take the profession of teaching. It is the duty of Brahmana, so they should be teaching. They should, administrative class or Kshatriyas, should be protecting or administer everything. Then it is explained that Vaishyas, the mercantile people, they should protect the cows and increase the milk products, that is especially the curds and butter, the milk products. This is the duty of Vaishyas, Krishi Goraksha Vanichya. Srishila Prabhupada explains that Kshatriya should protect the citizens and Vaishya should protect the animals. So, in this way, all types of people are protected properly. Because even the animals, they form the society. But in Kali Yuga, what is happening? There is no protection to the animals. And that so much killing of animals is going on. And therefore, there is imbalance in the society. And therefore, everyone is suffering. And Shudra, as it is explained, that Shudra should not accumulate wealth. This is another principle Srila Prabhupada is explaining in that purport, that Shudra should not accumulate wealth. Because they should simply depend upon the upper three classes. And they should serve them sincerely. And if they serve them, then all benefits they will get. Whatever spiritual progress they have to make, or material progress, they make progress if they serve sincerely. And if they start accumulating wealth, what is the result? Srila Prabhupada explains that once they start accumulating the wealth, then they will indulge into three sinful activities: wine, woman, and gambling. They will start misutilizing the wealth. And these are the pillars of the sinful activities: intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So therefore, now, if these principles are followed by the different types of people in the society, then the whole society will make progress. And it is very, very scientific. Scientifically it is organized. That why these things have to be followed, because according to one's nature, everyone is designated a particular varna or ashram. And then, all the society progresses properly. And in the second purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that what is happening in Kali Yuga. That previously the kings were, ideal kings were there. So many examples from Srimad Bhagavatam we can take. And in fact, in the 12th canto, the first chapter, after King Parikshit, there were so many kings were named, that how this king would rule for so many years, and then who are the next kings. So that description was given. But later, what is going to happen, that is not given. Because it is too much for Shukadeva Goswami to explain what is going to happen. He has just given the symptoms of Kali Yuga. What kings would do, or what the leaders of the country would do. They have given the symptoms, that these are the symptoms of these leaders in Kali Yuga. And what they will do, that is also given, that they will, first of all, they will introduce all kinds of sinful activities. Do you see, the kings would see that these sinful activities are not done anywhere. And we can see the case of Parikshit Maharaj. When he was a king, he went out to see whether everything is followed properly or not. And he saw that one Shudra, who has disguised himself as a king and beating the legs of cow and bull. So when he saw that how these animals, cows and bulls, they are the religious animals, they have to be protected, and he is killing them. So it is the duty of king to protect the cows, brahmanas, old men, children. It is his duty to protect these people. But the cows were, he was beating the legs of a cow. So he immediately took out his sword to kill him immediately. Because he had to protect the cow. But this Shudra, who was none other than Kali personified, he immediately surrendered to him. And as soon as somebody surrenders to Kshatriya, he has to give protection. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was in a dilemma, what to do now? Yes, he was killing the cow, but at the same time, he surrendered to me. So therefore, it is my duty to protect him also. So therefore, he banished him out of his country. Because in his state, these four things were not done. These four sinful activities were not done. So he had to banish him. But still, nowhere these activities were done. So then he had to give him the fifth place. Wherever there is accumulation of too much gold or wealth, that place Kali resides. So in this way, Kali got entrance into the society. That was just the beginning. And then later, how these four activities are increasing. And in Kali Yuga, you can get so much statistics of how many animals are killed every day. Cows and goats and chickens, so many animals are just killed every day. Not only in one country, but all parts of the country. Not only just simple animals, but in some countries, they eat any type of animal. There is no restriction. It is not that in Shastra some kind of restrictions were given. Only, okay, you want eat only these animals. But now Kali Yuga, that is also not followed. They don't discriminate also. And government gives sanction. This is another problem. That it is sanctioned by the government. So therefore these things are going on. And in some countries, if someone is following some religious principles, he is banished. He is taken so much severe action. If someone is following some religious principles, someone is seen doing some kind of meditation or chanting, then he is punished. See to what extent Kali Yuga is progressing. So therefore, our devotees find so much difficulty in some country. They can't practice it openly. Because if they start practicing openly, then the government will punish them. This is the problem in Kali Yuga. Then, government levy different taxes. This is another symptom of Kali Yuga. That it is explained that previously the rogues and the thieves, they would plunder because they would not follow any law. They would rob the people, cheat the people. But in Kali Yuga it is explained that the lawmakers, those who are supposed to protect the citizens, they themselves are rogues and thieves. Because they make such kind of rules or laws that people have to pay the taxes. So many different types of taxes are there. And in olden days also, the king would take the taxes. But he would see the actual welfare of the citizens. That people, they get all the sufficient necessities of the life. Their spiritual life is progress. They are progressing in spiritual life. So that was the duty of a king. And we could see that kings would perform so many different types of sacrifices. In fact, these sacrifices were for the benefits of all human society. It was not that for their own personal benefit they would levy taxes and would perform the sacrifices. But when these sacrifices are performed, yajnas, then the demigods are pleased. When the demigods are pleased, they will supply the rains. And by rains, the grains will grow. So in this way, they would follow this scientific cycle. But in Kali Yuga, they simply levy taxes, extract the money from people. And the necessities, basic necessities, are also not supplied properly. So This is very, very important to understand how previously the whole system was, how it was so scientific. And Srila Prabhupada is giving third symptoms here. There are many symptoms of Kali Yuga, but he has just given very small, because in fact these symptoms are given in 12 canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada has, whenever there was opportunity, whenever these references are coming of the kings or how the ideal administration should be, Srila Prabhupada has immediately given all this necessary information in his purport. So the third symptom is given that because the next prediction to be fulfilled, which is already coming to pass, is that because of the sinful activities of the citizens and government, rain will become increasingly scarce. Gradually there will be complete drought and no production of food grains. People will be reduced to eating flesh and seeds, and many good spiritually inclined people will have to forsake their homes because they will be too harassed by drought, taxation, famine. The Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to save the world from such devastation. It is the most scientific and authorized movement for the actual welfare of the whole human society. So this is another symptom, that because there are so many sinful activities performed, therefore the citizens, they become so much harassed by these taxes that they leave home. And the rains are also becoming scarce, so there is no proper production of grains. So in this way, there is so much instability. Political instability is there. And because of that, people are also instable in their minds. Because there is no proper leader, always there is instability. So therefore people have so much difficulty in adjusting the situations. And common people, they suffer so much. And therefore we can see the symptoms, what is happening. That it may appear that a certain nation is making such material advancement, but you can take the other statistics also, how much intoxication is increasing, how much smoking is increasing, how much meat eating is increasing, and what is the rate of their health, or what is the statistics of their mental or physical health. You can take that also. Mentally also there is so much disturbed, young generation, it is so much disturbed. We can see that if they don't score proper marks, then they feel so much depressed, and they think that now I have lost everything, and so many of them, they commit suicide. Because they think that they are not, there is nothing I can do in my future life. Why this type of instability is there? Because there is no political stability. Because there are not proper government, there are not proper leaders who are actually giving the spiritual directions to the whole society. That is very important. And Srila Prabhupada, why he has given so much emphasis in his purports, this is very important to understand, because Srila Prabhupada has seen different transitions in politics throughout his life. In fact, when he first met his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Saraswati Prabhupada, that time he was in the Gandhi's movement. Because he thought that if our India, country, which was under the subjugation of British rule, if it gets freedom, then only we can preach Krishna consciousness. Because there has to be stability there. Of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, had a complete vision. He convinced Srila Prabhupada that Krishna consciousness is only urgency. It cannot wait. This party or that party, it will keep on changing. But what is the greatest need now is Krishna consciousness. That is only lacking. All other things are there. But only lacking thing is Krishna consciousness. That has to be introduced. And Srila Prabhupada, at his first meeting with his spiritual master, he was convinced that yes, what he is saying is perfect. And then later his all thought process changed. He understood that yes, what he is saying is perfect. And then later he started practicing Krishna consciousness. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was eternally the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj, because these are his earthly pastimes. But we can see that how he was seeing what is happening around in political scene, and he was seeing that how Mahatma Gandhi was also trying to get freedom. And later, when Srila Prabhupada was trying to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood that this is only a requirement in today's society. If people have to become free from all different types of problems, then this is the only need, that they should become Krishna conscious. Then all problems in the society, in national level, international level, all types of level, problems can be solved if people become Krishna conscious. So therefore, wherever he found opportunity, he was ready to preach. And we can see that before Mahatma Gandhi passed away, he wrote one letter. He had so much revolutionary thoughts that these leaders, they are in such position, if they take to Krishna consciousness, they can influence the whole society. They can make so much change in the society. And every small opportunity Srila Prabhupada got, he was just trying to preach to these leaders, political leaders. He wrote later to Mahatma Gandhi also that now you are getting old. Now you stop this political business and you come to me, we'll discuss Bhagavad Gita. You're trying to preach non-violence to get freedom, which is failing. So, of course, that later some other did not reach. Then another time also, when he went to US also, there also he was seeing all this political instability, how US has declared war against Vietnam. All these things he was observing, what is happening around. And then in 1971 also, in India there was so much difficulty. Bangladesh war, and so many things were going on. So he got opportunity to meet Prime Minister Mrs. Indira Gandhi. In fact, previously he wanted to meet in 1971. So he told his disciples that there is coronaling stone laying ceremony. So if Mrs. Indira Gandhi comes, you can invite. Or if she doesn't come, then at least invite governor. So he was trying all level best to bring these people and give them Krishna consciousness. Not just to invite them, but invite them and give them Krishna consciousness. That was his plan. And in 1975 also he got opportunity to meet. So that time before meeting he had wrote down some points. I will just read those points so we can understand that what was Srila Prabhupada's plan. That if these people become at least convinced of certain principle, how much they can influence the whole society. And in 1975, August 22, Srila Prabhupada got the opportunity to meet Prime Minister Mrs. Indira Gandhi. And before that, just 2 days before, the governor of Prime Minister of Bangladesh was assassinated. So there was a tense atmosphere everywhere. And Indira Gandhi would be the next. So she was always under so much security. Srila Prabhupada went with some of his disciples to meet. And outside the gate, he was taken alone. And he went alone to meet. And before going, he had written 10 points which he wanted to discuss with Mrs. Indira Gandhi. And his 10 points were: grant immigration for 500 foreigners. Because Srila Prabhupada's disciples were there, so many foreign disciples he had invited them into India. And they had to always face the problem of renewal of visa. And after 6 months they had to leave the country again, come back. And for that there was so much expenditure was there, and services were getting affected. So therefore that was the first on the list, that this devotee should get the facility. Then all MPs should be initiated Brahmanas. We all remember the Praha Parliament, should be initiated Brahmanas. Means you can imagine that means they are themselves are not breaking these four regulative principles. They have to follow themselves first. Then they can ask others to follow. Sanjay the king. Sanjay Gandhi should become the king. Because it is a pathetic situation that a woman is ruling the country. And recently also there was some situation that it was appearing that now the woman is going to rule the country. Of course, they settled the matter. But Srila Prabhupada, and another time also, in Chicago, he had one radio interview. And that time also he was so much against this. That how the country, who should rule the country? So there was a lot of commotion that time also. But the fourth point was close slaughterhouses. All slaughterhouses should be closed. Fifth was chanting should be introduced. Chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be introduced. Then sixth was meat eaters at home and no public meat eating. If somebody wants to eat meat, then they can eat in their home, but not publicly they can kill the animals and sell it. Prostitution prohibition or punishable. So, then no religious groups except Bhagavad Gita as it is. There cannot be any religious group except Bhagavad Gita. We have to follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Because if you follow that, all other things are included. There is no need of following something separate. All government officials must join kirtan at least twice a day. In the morning and evening, they should perform kirtan. And 10th point was, support Krishna consciousness all over the world. But she is the Prime Minister, so he was telling that we should support this Krishna consciousness all over the world. So then there will be a revolution and people will be actually spiritually benefited. These were the just 10 points he had written which he wanted to discuss. And there were many other things he wanted to give spiritual direction, how we should follow. And a lot of points were there. Of course, that time, because of all these insecure things, she just met him with him for some time and just agreed that the disciples will get visas. Only these points were discussed. So we can see that how important it is, the duty of a king, and how previously the kings were following all these principles. And there were so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam, King Parikshit, King Yudhishthir, King Shribi, then King Vanantidev, Ambarish Maharaj, so many examples are there. Those who were perfectly Krishna conscious kings. And because of them, we can see that all the citizens were completely happy. And Lord Ramchandra, who himself was an ideal king, and how he followed the kingdom in his citizens, all people were happy. So therefore, of course, in Kali Yuga things have become topsy-turvy. But if somebody gets an opportunity to preach to these politicians, one should definitely preach and explain the importance of Krishna consciousness, how Krishna consciousness is important, what is Srila Prabhupada's vision. And if someone follows that, then how everyone can become benefited. Hare Krishna. Someone has any questions or comments? Go ahead for some comments. Shyam Kishore Prabhu has just come from Chennai, I think, today. So we'd like to welcome him in our tradition way by loudly chanting. Hare Krishna.